From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, April 23rd. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri's Children's Division Director, Sarah Smith, is trying to stabilize one of the toughest state governmental agencies to run.
Creating a culture that has a better, more supportive work-life balance, I think, can't be measured in dollars.
Coming up after this news on The Gateway, St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum talks with Smith about keeping the Children's Division on the right track when investigating child abuse and neglect. A lawsuit against the placement of a governor-appointed board to oversee the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department is in jeopardy. On her last day in office, St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones and Aldermanic President Megan Green filed a suit challenging two aspects of the new law. But Green and St. Louis's new mayor, Kara Spencer, didn't respond to a judge's inquiry as to why the suit should be in federal court. Spencer said in a statement she's looking into whether to refile a lawsuit in state court. Green's spokesman says she's hoping Spencer will join her in challenging the law. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe is expected to appoint members of the St. Louis Board of Police Commissioners this summer. And voters in St. Louis's 8th Ward will go to the polls July 1st to pick their new member of the Board of Aldermen. The city's Board of Elections Commissioners announced the special election date to fill the seat left vacant with Kara Spencer's election to the mayor's office. Candidate filing ends May 30th. The Democratic Party will pick its nominee in mid-May. Nonpartisan candidates must submit at least 369 signatures. Portions of streets in North St. Louis and Lafayette Square collapsed over the weekend. Their repairs could take up to a month. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley reports on the city's efforts to fix century-old sewer mains inside the holes.
Construction crews contracted by the Metropolitan St. Louis Sewer District are working to repair a hole on Cass Street in North St. Louis. The hole is 20 feet deep, and at the bottom, there's about 40 feet of broken sewer pipes that need to be replaced. Sean Stone is a spokesman for the sewer district.
In this case, there's no underground void that we're aware of having anything to do with this. It's a situation where the water escaping from the public sewer system has eroded away the soil that was supporting the road above it.
Stone says because of this, last weekend's street collapses are technically not sinkholes, but rather cave-ins. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
And this weekend's Go St. Louis Marathon route is now a little longer as the hole on Park Avenue is directly on the route. Marathon organizers say the route has grown by nearly 1/10 of a mile to avoid the area. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page is pushing the county council to approve more than $12 million worth of spending on projects from the 2024 budget. STLPR's Rachel Littman explains.
In every budget, the council allocates money for projects that, for a variety of reasons, cannot be completed before the end of the year. So the following year, it votes to reallocate money to make sure the work can be finished. That process is generally pretty quick, but this year, the reallocation bill has not moved since it was introduced in February. Page says the delay is putting critical services at risk. That includes medications to treat opioid use disorder in detainees at the county jail.
It's severely impacting patient safety, staff morale, and really the overall stability of the facility.
The council is holding a meeting on the bill on Wednesday. I'm Rachel Littman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri lawmakers held a public hearing Tuesday considering whether concealed weapons should be allowed on public transportation. Proponents argue that commuters should have the right to defend themselves on transit, but Kansas City Democratic Senator Barbara Washington says the risk of more weapons in crowded areas is not worth taking.
Whenever you got a weapon on you, you're going to have a lot more confidence in what you're doing. So if I got a gun on me, I'm on the bus, I get into a slight argument, I'm going to pull my gun out. And somebody's going to possibly lose their life. And we don't need that. And we don't want that in Missouri.
The bill has already passed the House on party lines. It also allows 18-year-olds to apply for a concealed carry permit, currently limited to those age 19 and older. The Missouri House has passed a bill to ban the enforcement of non-disclosure agreements in child sexual abuse cases. Bipartisan supporters of the legislation say that non-disclosure agreements are often used to silence underage victims and prevent them from speaking out. They say the bill is a necessary step towards justice. The bill passed the House unanimously and will now go to the Senate. A St. Louis County Republican is standing by his support for a measure that could repeal constitutional protections for abortion rights in the state. The Missouri House passed a ballot measure seeking voter approval to allow the legislature to ban most abortions, with some exceptions for rape, incest, fatal fetal abnormalities, and the life of the mother. State Representative George Haruza says he was uncomfortable with last year's Amendment 3, which placed protections for abortion rights in the state constitution.
Amendment 3 language is so vague, it will probably take years to sort out what the actual impact will be on all of those issues.
The Senate still has to consider the proposed ballot item. Haruza was a guest on Politically Speaking. You can hear his episode at stlpr.org or wherever you get podcasts like this one. Several U.S. regional climate centers shut down last week. Those centers had collected weather data for 21 states, including Missouri and Illinois, but went dark due to a lapse in federal funding. Harvest Public Media's Hector Alejandro Arzate reports the shutdown will have an immediate impact, especially on the agriculture industry.
The regional climate centers are responsible for collecting data across U.S. states, as well as sharing drought conditions and other online weather tools. Many state climatologists say they rely on those centers, and so do the farmers and ranchers they work with who are getting ready for the growing season. Matthew Sattel is the assistant state climatologist at Kansas State University. He depends on both the Midwestern and Southern regional climate centers, and he says he's worried they won't return.
It's tough. Do we lose these products for a week, for a month, for a year, forever? Nobody knows.
One regional climate center director says the funds were held up due to additional contract reviews. The Trump administration previously proposed a 25% budget cut to NOAA for next fiscal year. I'm Hector Alejandro Arzate, Harvest Public Media.
The St. Louis Zoo's baby elephant has finally made his long-awaited debut. Asian elephant calf Jet made his first public appearance Tuesday, so from now on, Jet will be frequently out in the public habitat during zoo hours. The 500-pound baby elephant was born in November through an artificial insemination program. Biologists say Jet will participate in a national species survival program when he's fully grown. He's now the fourth generation of the zoo's elephant family, which has 8 members. If you want to learn a little bit more about what it took to get Jet ready for his public debut, I did a story all about it. You can hear it on last Friday's episode of The Gateway or check it out at stlpr.org. After being appointed to lead the Missouri Children's Division, Sarah Smith is facing the difficult challenge of having enough staff and following through with legislative initiatives aimed at keeping families together. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on Smith's vision for protecting Missouri's children.
Smith spent roughly 20 years at the Children's Division, which oversees Missouri's foster care system and investigates alleged child abuse and neglect. In some respects, the Children's Division is one of Missouri's most challenged state government agencies, especially when low-paid, overworked employees encounter traumatic situations involving kids. Smith says one of the ways to keep the division on track is to have stable leadership.
I think I've been with Children's Division, like I said, around 20 years. And in that time, I was trying to count back and see I've had at least 9 directors. You know, some directors come in with really big plans of things to do, and it just shifts the pendulum very quickly one way or the other.
But Smith says in just a month, she is making a mark on the division, including bringing in a new leadership team and new managers at regional offices. She's also trying to strengthen her division's relationship with juvenile officers who can present evidence to judges that a child should be removed from a home.
They are a vital piece in keeping kids safe, and we should be looping them in and making referrals when we have concerns about child safety.
Lawmakers gave the agency the ability to enter into voluntary agreements with parents addicted to drugs to go to rehabilitation programs and have their kids stay with relatives. But this program, known as Temporary Alternative Placement Agreements, or TAPAs, has been used inconsistently throughout the state. Smith says she was concerned that TAPAs were used only 30 times in St. Louis last year, a small fraction of the nearly 1,600 TAPAs deployed statewide.
I don't know why it's not being used, and so I'm very interested to dive in and see the reasons why, specifically the St. Louis region, because it doesn't match with Jackson. I mean, when I look at Jackson County, that's similar in some ways. I mean, they had 169 TAPAs last year, and so for St. Louis to only have 30, that's a big difference.
The Children's Division dealt with chronic staffing issues as Missouri emerged out of the pandemic, which resulted in gigantic backlogs for child abuse and neglect cases. Last year, staffing in St. Louis improved enough to pare down a stack of unfinished cases from about 7,000 to zero. That stands at about 370 cases now. Democratic State Representative Betsy Fogel of Springfield is one of many lawmakers concerned about low pay for child abuse investigators. They currently have a starting salary of around $45,000 a year, which Fogel says isn't enough to prevent staff turnover.
I don't want to discredit the work that the body has done to make some level of significant investments. And we have had a lot of conversations about the foster care system, but it's not enough.
The GOP-controlled legislature and Governor Mike Kehoe didn't suggest significantly raising the starting salary for investigators, though the GOP chief executive does want to provide existing state employees raises based off their years of experience. Smith says her agency is trying to find ways to make investigator jobs more manageable, such as bringing in more staff that could ease the burden on frontline employees.
Creating a culture that has a better, more supportive work-life balance, I think, can't be measured in dollars.
So far, child welfare advocates have been optimistic about Smith's appointment. Whether she'll succeed in keeping the agency on the right footing could depend on having enough money and state legislative support. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.